Here's our content creation system that helps us get views, gain followers, grows our audience, and ultimately our businesses.
We talked about this on the last couple of episodes, and today we're going to go more into how to come up with good content ideas. And because we have developed a system not only for how we create content, but also for how we validate content ideas.
Yeah.
So that in any given moment when we are recording content, we basically have a list of content ideas with, let's say, a high probability of succeeding. We talked about this last time as well. There's always a randomness factor, and you can never 100% predict how well a content piece is going to do. But I think what you can do with the right kind of content validation is you can ensure that none of your content is like completely irrelevant, completely misses the mark, and you can give. So it's like you almost like raise the bar to, you know, slightly above average, let's say, right? In terms of results, your results are going to be above average. And then the other thing is just making enough of it, because out of the content you make, you can never fully predict like which one's going to be an absolute banger and go viral and which one might fall flat.
Yeah.
But you can basically still make sure, you can give yourself a higher probability, and you can make sure you're not wasting your time. Because you could easily make hundreds of content pieces that nobody cares about. And unfortunately, that is what happens to a lot of people, right? I mean, any platform where people can post content is an absolute graveyard of stuff that you never see. You have no idea how bad YouTube videos are, because you never see them. You have no idea how bad, you know, bad Instagram posts and blog posts and tweets and whatnot are, because you never see them.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about this, right? Like, if you search on Google, how many videos get uploaded to YouTube per day? It's like 3.7 million. It's something ridiculous, right? Yeah. So our purpose, the purpose of our content blueprint system, our content creation system, is how do you stack the odds in your favor that the things you end up doing, the videos you make, the whatever, the blogs and articles, they actually serve the purpose that you want it to serve, right? And you don't end up being the little hamster on the
floor. Exactly. And you really have to be in like the top 0.01% or so to get any traction. But the good news is most of the stuff that people are uploading is such garbage that, you know, the competition really isn't that steep.
Exactly. The good news is the competition sucks.
Yeah.
The bad news is there's so much
there's
of
so
it.
So much of it, yeah. All right.
All right. So in our content blueprint system, right, there are essentially six principles. And the very first one, the thing we've been talking about, is idea validation. So pretty much signal from noise, right? Mm-hmm. Any domain or any field or area of expertise that you want to be creating content in, you naturally would probably want to talk about the stuff that helps that target market, that audience.
Yeah. So, or the stuff that they care about, right? You need to identify what are people going to click on? What are people going to talk about? What are people going to share, et cetera? And there are systematic ways to do that. Now, I think we can start with maybe the most unusual one is we've used like very low cost Facebook ads for idea validation. So can you give us like a quick walkthrough of your system for doing that?
Sure. Yeah. This is my personal favorite. Because with Facebook ads, you can basically, you know, roughly identify, here's the target market I want to reach. And you create 25 to 50 different messages and you run them as images, text on images. Mm-hmm. And from there, after 2 days of testing, it never costs more than $50, right? Depending on whatever you want. But anyways, after like $50 and 2 days of testing, you can sort by order of attention grabbed, pretty much.
By click-through rate.
Exactly, by click-through rate and people who interacted with it or clicked with it. The ones that get the highest clicks are the ones that are catching people's attention the most.
Yeah.
Right. That's my personal favorite way to test. Like, it's the spaghetti approach, basically. Here's like 100 ideas I have. Throw them at the wall. And you're like, what? That worked? That's usually...
Right. Yeah, but sometimes it's counterintuitive, And basically every ad variation you run is like just one headline, right?
So an example of different headlines, like with the QBH example, when I ran the Facebook ads test, right? I ran headlines around porn as being the problem. It's like, oh my God, how do I quit porn? How do I quit porn for good? Or here's a better one. Porn is ruining my life. That's an example of a problem-oriented headline. And the solution-oriented headline was, how do I quit porn? How to quit the healthy way? The seven simple steps to quit, right? So this allowed me to see, okay, where are people at? Are they more in the problem phase? Like, are they resonating with problems more? Or are they resonating with solutions more? And the thing I had found was problems. Yeah.
How do you come up with those ideas to begin with?
Honestly, a lot of it is just brainstorming. You know, the usual sort of exercises. Okay, if I'm the person I want to reach, when I sit down and open Google, what do I type?
Mm-hmm.
What is the video that I'm most likely to watch? Or one we did for QBH, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, what do young guys care about? Mm-hmm. And I just wrote a laundry list of stuff that I could think of and ran whatever, 100 of them.
Right. Yeah. And it's also something you can do to further refine ideas because, I mean, one way to get ideas in the first place is what we talked about in the previous episode, where you just look at what is popular in your niche. What are your competitors talking about? And in there as well, you can look at, so Twitter can be pretty useful for that as well, because everything is so short that you can again see like what tweets are people engaging with. And you can turn that into, well, what would the headline for a content piece be? And that could be one of the things you test. But yeah, it's often also useful to basically figure out, okay, I have a topic and I have an idea of what I want to talk about, but now how do I frame this? And you come up with like 10 different ways to write the same, you know, to write essentially 10 different headlines for the same idea.
Yeah.
And you can test those.
Yeah. And the most beneficial thing that I have found is theme, five headlines. Right. And very often what you'll see is like the theme itself would come higher and higher in like the attention it's grabbing, right? Now, if I can go back to the QBH example, we actually had three different sources for identifying this signal, right?
Yeah.
One was we had a podcast with this neuroscientist, TJ, brilliant podcast. And the parts, the clips that we had of like NoFap and anything to do with like porn and struggles and abuse and whatnot, they just took off. They did very well on YouTube. We're like, interesting.
So that was like one of the first signals we had that this was a problem that appealed to people. And the question of what do I do if I'm addicted to pornography, and these kinds of the mental health struggles around that specific addiction and addiction to like devices, social media, and so on in general, that was a sign for us that, okay, there's something here. People are engaging with this more than with other parts of the conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then from there, we ran a men's group at one point. And even there, like, you know, the topic of dopamine struggles and addiction, that also came up as something that everyone struggled with, right?
Yeah. That's where the idea for the brand came from. So I was interested in doing men's work before, but then that very specific, like specifically the struggle with pornography and with other forms of addictive, like dopamine addiction, let's say, that was a signal for, okay, this is a way to talk about this that clearly is salient for people, that clearly gets people's attention. And then we did quite a lot of this message testing for trying to find out like specific phrases and specific angles and so on that people would respond to. And then also the other thing is that's worth noting is that we're making a lot of short form content. So that's also an easy way to do idea validation.
Yeah.
And we did a whole bunch of short form content before starting to make longer content. So by the time I started recording longer videos on this topic, I already had, I don't actually know exactly how many, but I already had, let's say, something between 30 and 50 short form videos published. And I'd already, from there, I could already see what people were responding to more and less.
Yeah. In the first month, you published 50 for sure. I remember that. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Before you ever did any long video, you had published at least 50 videos, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and all this is to say that at no point were we shooting in the dark, right?
Yeah.
So it was never like, oh, let's just hope that something comes of this. It was immediately based on, and the thing is, you know, with the men's group, the principle behind this is it's in-person interaction with people, which I have also done in different niches. This is one of the great opportunities you get from, like, I love running my own workshops, running my own meetups, right? I think that's a huge opportunity anyone should take, is what is it that you can do a meetup or a workshop on? And then, you know, post it on Meetup, go to whatever co-working spaces, yoga studios, gyms, whatever is related to your thing, right? So if I'm doing something health and spiritual related, I'd go to yoga studios and be like, can I do a workshop with you guys? Or if it's something entrepreneurial, I go to co-working spaces and go, hey, can I do a productivity workshop for your people? This kind of thing, right? And this giving yourself the opportunity just to get in touch, like just in real life and talk to people. For me, that has always been a great way to really tune into what are people talking about? What do they care about? What do they struggle with? And from doing this a couple of times, you can easily put yourself in a situation where you've talked to a few dozen people who are like your perfect target audience.
Yeah.
And get so many ideas of, yeah, again, basically content ideas. And then you can take that huge list of content ideas, you can refine it further with some of this ad testing. Yeah. And you're basically setting yourself, like by doing this, and also, you know, think about this in terms of, what I'm talking about here is doing the things that most people are not going to do, right?
Hmm.
How do we beat the 3.7 million content pieces being uploaded every day? Well, do stuff that they aren't doing. And what they aren't doing is they aren't being this systematic about testing their ideas. And they are going out there talking to people, most of them, right?
Yeah. Also, pretty much you're talking about customer development calls, right?
Yeah.
Like at some point, I did a bunch recently. And there were two specific instances. One, I was on a call. She starts talking. She says, my problem is this. In my mind, and this and this. And as she's saying, I already knew what she was going to say before she started talking.
Right.
And I met up with a friend recently, same thing. He's like, oh man, I really want to do this, whatever, online course, right?
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, he struggles with this and this and this. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I really need help with this, this. I'm like, yeah, I already know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, but imagine if you know your customers that well.
Yeah.
Like what's stopping you then from creating content that they specifically care about, right?
Exactly. And you really only get that from just talking to people in your market. Or it's a shortcut, basically. Talking to people in your market in any way possible is a shortcut to getting these insights and really understanding what they struggle with, what they need, what their problems are, what their questions are, and so on. And yeah, I think that the fastest way to do that is actual conversations
yeah.
with people. But what we also do is get the conversation going in any way
possible.
We can.
Yeah.
So early in content creation, I always try to get people to comment. I always try to give people a reason to comment so you can start a conversation. Again, that's one way to communicate. We started building a community right away with the Quit by Healing brand, where again, you get people to join, in this case, it's Discord. You get people to join the Discord and people are asking questions and so on, which gives you, it starts a flywheel of people asking you questions and presenting you their problems that you then know. You know, people in this market have this problem, so I can go make content. I know that content is relevant. And also, I mean, the reason we're talking about content creation right now is because we've been talking to our audience, basically. Yeah,
exactly. Like earlier in the year, I was doing newsletters, right? And just like anybody who's ever written an article, at some point I was like, what do I write about?
Right.
Like, let me just ask them, right? Or started putting these little quizzes here and there. And just through the conversations and comments, and especially with the Facebook thing, I did a detailed blog post on how to do this, I think two or three of them. And that's what came up. Like mm-hmm. everyone was like, oh, I want to know how to create content that I'm not wasting my time on. I'm not stuck on this content treadmill. It actually gets traction. It goes and ultimately serves the purpose of growing my audience, right?
Exactly. So it's really, this is the flywheel you want to get going as soon as possible, is that you are essentially in conversation with your audience.
Yeah.
And I want to emphasize that we've built several brands with content from scratch, because obviously if you hear us saying, well, we're talking about content now because we're talking to our audience, you're like, well, I don't have an audience. Okay, but we've done this from scratch, right?
Yeah.
Where obviously it takes a while before you get to the first people, but you can get, the intention is I want to get on that flywheel as quickly as possible. I want to start getting into conversation. And all of the things we've listed here are just the ways we have, the things that we have put in place in order to get that conversation going. Yeah.
And when you don't have an audience, you find people in real life. When you can't do that, go through Facebook ads. If you can't do that, find a quiz. If you can't do that, sit down and think, what would the person that struggles with this Google?
Yeah.
How do I solve this problem?
And even like another starting point is also to look at content that's already popular in a niche and look through the comments there. Look at Reddit. You know, what are people in whatever your niche is, there's going to be a subreddit full of people complaining.
Yeah.
And you go and look at what are they complaining about. Like there's so many sources, and you go to those external sources to get it started, and then you try to internalize, you try to have a direct conversation with your audience as soon as possible. That's really the secret sauce to this.
Yeah, exactly. And we spend so much time talking about this because it's probably the keystone or the cornerstone or whatever word is.
Yeah, and it's the most important factor if you don't want to be wasting your time.
Yeah.
Right. We mentioned this a couple of times in the last episode as well, where, look, even if you just randomly make content, if you keep doing it, you're probably going to get better and eventually something's going to work. It just takes a long time, right?
Yeah.
And the chances are that you end up making content for a few months before you realize, oh, nobody cares about this and I have to bring a different approach. And what we're talking about is how do you save that time wasted and just go straight to what do people actually care about?
Yeah, absolutely. And man, like you remind me, a question I very often get is like, how can I figure this out on my own? Mm. And the response I usually have, given infinite time and infinite resources, you can do anything.
Right.
Right. Given infinite time and infinite resources, everything that can happen and will ever happen will actually happen. Yeah. Right? But you don't have that.
Unfortunately, so, yeah.
The next best thing is to be strategic about it.
Exactly.
And that's what this is, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, assuming that now we know our audience and what people want to see, the next thing that people struggle with is, yeah, but I made the video, it's not good enough, right?
Right.
It's like, and this is like the, well, we mentioned this in the last podcast as this is probably the biggest pillar biggest place where people get stuck at.
It's where most people get stuck, yeah. It's where most people get stuck. So for that, if that's what you struggle with, if you basically, it takes you like 5 weeks to make one content piece and stuff like that, right? Because you're struggling with this like internal battle of, oh my God, perfectionism, it's not good enough and so on. Then the first episode in this series is about that. We'll link to that in the show notes as well. That's where we talk about how to overcome this problem of essentially, I'm not making content or I'm not making enough of it. And it's always fear-based. It's emotional, essentially, right? And we talked there about what I call the 80% rule, where you, instead of trying to make content that is 100% as good as you can make it 80% as good as you can make it. And ironically, that gets you way better, way faster. So make sure you go check out that episode to learn more about the 80% rule.
I personally had this experience, especially when you're putting out content consistently, right? I had a few people who offhandedly said something that they probably didn't realize how hurtful it was.
Mm.
It's like, oh, you're doing that. Oh, I would never do that if I was too dumb. You know, something like that. And I'm like, okay. But then like 4 weeks later, it's like, hey man, that video you just put out recently is really cool. Like, can you please help me how you did that?
Yeah.
You know, like they're projecting their internal fear onto you. So the other thing would be like, don't listen to people, I guess.
Yeah. And yeah, that's actually, I think that's a good problem to have when you get haters, which always happens. I mean, no matter what you do, people are going to be mad and people are going to be mean online, right? But I think it's a good sign when people are responding to your, even if they tell you you suck, right?
Yeah.
And it is interesting, like two things I noticed on that note is that also with Quit by Healing, which is really successful, what happened initially is that there was more pushback. There was more people basically telling me I suck and I should stop. And then later what happens is more and more people coming in being like, please keep doing what you're doing. You're changing my life. But nothing about my content has changed, right? It just takes time.
Right.
And the other thing is also that when you cross something like 100,000 views, somewhere there, you always get like a flood of absolute stupidity in the comments. I mean, we're really like the average IQ of the comments drops by like double the decimals, right?
Right.
And if you really have to have thick skin or just don't look at those comments because you really get a lot of hate and you'll get a lot of it's just like head scratchingly stupid stuff, but often it's like hateful. It's like toxic, right?
Mm.
So it's often people, again, like they're projecting their own whatever pain and insecurity and so on. And they're trying to, it's like the way I understand it is that the people are desperately trying to get a reaction out of other people. And the only way they know how is they try to hurt other people to try and kind of confirm their own existence in a way, right?
Right.
And there's definitely a threshold of when your content becomes popular, you just get a lot of that. And you can't be taking that personally.
Yeah.
But again, that's a good problem to have. I hope that you follow this system and then you have the problem of all these haters because all of your stuff is getting so many views. This is a great problem to have. And again, like, stick with it, and the people who are confirming that you're changing their lives will come around as well.
Right. So that's the 80% rule, the second principle, right? Which solves the I'm not publishing or posting fast enough. Then, well, for anybody who knows, after 80 comes the 20% rule, which is the third principle in the content blueprint system.
Yeah, and this is just this is essentially the Pareto principle, right? The 80-20 principle, where get good at identifying the 20% that matters, because we can spend a lot of time optimizing in the space of the 80% that doesn't matter.
Right.
And you can shortcut your way to success significantly by focusing on the 20% that matters. Now, with content, that is usually the things to look for are, it's like your storytelling and the emotional appeal and the clarity of your message, right? Those are, and again, there's more to this, but that's a good guideline of these things are in the 20%. If your content lacks clarity, if people can't follow it, that's a problem. Yeah. And that's a problem that matters, right? Versus if your content is shot on a camera that is not the best camera.
Yeah, it's a little fuzzy.
Yeah, it's not the best lens, whatever, right?
Yeah.
That's not in the 20%.
But the storytelling is amazing, right?
Exactly. Exactly. People will be captivated by a well-told story shot on a potato, basically. Right. And so things like clarity, emotional appeal, and storytelling, those are generally the big levers. You get better at that and you get way better results. And then you can spend money you make on cameras and stuff like
that. Yeah.
That's fine.
And everyone has this problem. Like, you know, you just reminded me of, I don't know how this relates, but screw it. Like Christopher Nolan's Tenet, right? The movie came out, brilliant movie, epic, whatever, cinematography, but the sound mixing sucked. You could barely hear what what the actors were talking about. So if your lighting sucks or your sound sucks, you're not the only one.
Yeah, even Nolan screws that up. Although, isn't that like intentional? Like you're supposed to be confused or something? I don't know. I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's worth a watch. Okay, so now we know what content to create. We're publishing regularly, and we know what to improve consistently, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the next one is, how do we make sure that we don't actually end up being on that content treadmill, the hamster wheel of content doom? It's the experimental approach.
Yeah. Right?
So this, I wrote this down because this came from a conversation I had with you before I ever dabbled into this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing you had told me was like, do it in rounds of 10 and make sure that you're, you know, evaluating a set of content at a time to figure out whether this is working or not.
Yeah, which basically, and we also talk about that in more detail in the last episode on how to do this evaluation.
Yeah.
So go and listen to the previous episode for all the details on that. But here, the one thing that's worth mentioning is like doing it in rounds of 10 and doing it as an experiment where you go, okay, I'm going to do 10 short videos, put them out, see what happens, improve on one thing in the next 10. So having that experimental mindset makes it much easier to create content instead of being like, oh my God, I have to make the perfect video, right? No, just make 10 and see what happens, right? That's a very different attitude. And I think that the thinking of I have to make the perfect thing is what really keeps you stuck and slows you down. And also, why 10 at a time? So short form content is really good for experimenting, and you can do 10 at a time because it gives you enough data.
Right? Yeah.
Gives you enough data to figure out. Even if you just go, you know, you try one recipe, for example, you try one content recipe and you make 10 different videos using the same recipe. And that gives you some sense of how do people respond to this recipe or even how can I get better at making this recipe? And then you can do 10 on a different recipe or 10 on a different way to make your hook and stuff like that. And doing 10 at a time just gives you enough data to actually make a decision. Also, a more specific example of this is testing different hooks, right? One of the things I tried out is, you know, what type of hook gets a good response? And for example, a type of hook is an accusation. So you open the video by accusing the viewer of doing something or accusing the viewer in some way, right? Because obviously that's one way to get someone's attention, right? Another type of hook is benefit. So you lead with, you know, watch this and I'm going to solve this problem for you, or I'm going to give you this advantage in this video. Mm. Those are two types of hooks. But if you just do one accusation and one benefit and then you see which of these videos did better, it's not enough data to go on. So do 10 accusations and 10 benefits and see what happens. Right.
Right. And that's where the data is basically guiding you in your further decision making, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the other reason for framing this as an experiment to yourself is just to overcome all the fears, right? It's like, so you're not attached to the outcome of your content. It's like, oh my God, the third video didn't work. Fuck.
Right? Yeah.
So you're not freaking out.
And it's worth mentioning that it's okay to repeatedly talk about the same thing. And in fact, that's something that I think I had to learn, that you have to do that quite a lot. Like when something is important, make more than one content piece about it. Like say it again and again and again. So the worry of like, oh, but I have to come up with a new thing to say every time is actually not, it's much less relevant than I used to think.
Yeah, and different people understand things differently, right? Yeah. So you can exercise your skills of explaining and being clear in explanations in different ways.
Yeah. All right, the next principle is strategic execution. We've talked about this in the previous episode a bit as well, where you have a strategy for how you find your content and your content ideas, and you have a strategy of how you position yourself in your market. And then you use recipes, you follow content recipes for actually making the content. And again, that's, you have a strategic, instead of just being like, oh, I'm going to try to make something, you have a strategy, which is this type of content with this recipe works. So I'm going to make, you know, I'm going to use the thing that already works. And as a reminder, actually, you can go to focusonaction.com/recipe to get 3 content recipes that we've used successfully, just broken down what the recipe is and how to use it. You can get that for free at focusonaction.com/recipe. So, okay, you have, and strategic execution means you are constantly following a deliberate strategy with your goal in mind. It's like you're trying to build an audience, you're trying to build authority, right? You're trying to basically position yourself as an authority in your niche, which by the way, can also mean, like, it doesn't have to mean that you have to come across as an infallible expert,
right?
But it's like you're the person, you become a recognizable person in your niche, right? And with that, you basically want to pursue a strategy of how do I ensure that I keep myself on this path and I'm not just randomly making content and hoping for the best. That's really what strategy is about.
You do a round of content, produce signal, then follow that signal, right?
Exactly.
If the signal's not on the left, it's on the right. You go this way, 10 more this direction.
Exactly.
So I can give an example here with, I started with the Strong Finisher brand, right? Because it's a concept I got from you and I really resonated with it. I remember you went through a similar journey when you started content creation. You start off with the principles and the ideas and the content that most deeply resonates with you. And you're like, oh, I really want to help people, right?
Yeah.
And then so I did like 30 of those first. And I'm like, fuck, man, this is bombing hard.
Yeah.
Helping people doesn't work.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. Actually, it was 41. Yeah, the first 41 videos were just like every day crushing it. I'm like, this is everything I learned from like fucking years in business. And here's the most valuable shit. Yeah, all of it bombed, right? And then from there, switch to a different content recipe. Okay, what could I do? Fine. Let's talk about shit. In my case, I switched to the marketing experiments or whatever that I've personally done. Here's what happened. Results. Mm-hmm. Somewhat lukewarm. Then after that, I'm like, okay, that didn't work either. And this was the next 10. So I've done so far 16, 15, 10. And now the last 9, I think, that I did, I followed the recipe of recent event. Here's the marketing take on it. It was good or it was bad. Mm-hmm. And then the first time I followed that recipe, boom. That was the first video that just popped off. It was amazing.
Right.
That happened because of the strategic execution of following this plan.
Exactly, right? So it's like you are basically, you're giving yourself, again, you're giving yourself enough data where you go, okay, I've given this approach, this angle enough tries. It doesn't seem to be working. And you can often within that be like, okay, you know, I made 20 videos, none of them took off, but one or two got like more views than the others. And you can then look at that and okay, in both of them, I kind of talked about a case study or something, which is, let's try that. Let's double down. Even if, you know, it only worked marginally, let's try to double down on this. And that is your next batch. And then that's a marginal improvement. And again, it's like you keep pivoting to what works best. And you can do this on your internal, like the signal you generate from your own content. And you can also do this on what you see other people do. So I also will often do content rounds based on what I see working on other channels, which can both be like topics. It can be recipes of like, how are they talking about this? And it can be like styles and angles. So for example, I have done experimentally, I've done things like, you know, content where I answer questions that people have left in the comments, or content where it's more like a vloggy style. I'm recording something while I'm walking somewhere. So it's, you know, like less scripted, more personal, personal storytelling style, this kind of thing. And some of them work and I keep doing them, and some of them don't work and I stop after like 10 or so, right? So this is also how you can, and I'll basically see someone else do it often. You know, that's how I get essentially a new idea. I'm like, oh, here's someone in an adjacent niche and they told a personal story with kind of, you know, very simple, again, not with the flashy attention grabbing edit. And that seems to work really well for them. So what happens if I do the same? And then I do a couple of those to see, you know, to see what works. And part of it is, yeah, that sometimes you'll pivot, right? So that happened to you with the strong finisher, where it's like your original idea just didn't seem to resonate, especially for short form content. I think that's difficult. And then you pivoted to a different style and you pivoted to a third style. And the third style is like, okay, this is what actually works.
And in the end, like the next pivot was pretty much recent events and the business lessons and marketing stories from this. That also worked.
Yeah, this is, and this is like basically always looking for, like you say, always looking for the signal and whatever the signal is, right? So you can always look for basically even within, so the experience that I've had with like TikTok is pretty good for testing, where you will generally get like a few hundred views. But even there, you know, in your first videos, you might get a few hundred views, and then one of them gets like 400, 800, 1,000. Even that is a little bit of a signal where you can just be like, basically, if you do batches of 10 and you always try to just double down on whatever worked best on the last batch, yeah, that is a pretty straightforward strategy that works really well.
Yeah. What we're describing is kind of like, you know, in the old movies, they would show the radar screen. Yeah. Like the little wave thing is going across, and then at some point it goes beep beep. You're like, yeah. They're like, what's there?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is. We're just that. Yeah. The 10 videos or 10 pieces of content is that little wave going across the screen, and you're waiting for the little beep to go off.
You're doing a sweep. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And then the last principle here, we've also covered this in the previous podcast episode quite extensively, I suppose, but basically feedback loops, right? This is extremely important. So in my case, I can say that the advantage I had was that I could ask you for feedback. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't remember because I saw you working so hard, I don't remember deliberately bothering you with this, but every now and then you would tell me like, hey man, you need to improve this
or
this, that, the other. So basically finding the right person to give you feedback to improve on super fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, we talked about this in the previous episode. It's not easy to get good feedback, but it is definitely worth getting, right? Yeah. If you can get it. And this is especially for the content quality itself, like the content quality and the content delivery. So because what we've talked about so far, it helps you find the right ideas, the right topics to talk about those ideas, and the right the recipes, essentially the right way to talk about them. But especially when it comes to your delivery, like how engaging is this, right? Is this capturing my attention? Is this interesting? Am I connecting to you? In a way, with personal branding content, you're trying to create this a personal feeling connection with your audience, right? And it doesn't have to be, it just basically has to be, there's this kind of intangible human appeal to it. And this is, I think, one of the biggest points where feedback can help. And it's kind of a blind spot with, even if you have a really solid system for finding your content ideas and, you know, you have your spreadsheet and your data and all this kind of stuff, this is a blind spot. Is sometimes only someone else can look at it and go, there's something about this that makes me not feel engaged. Or, you know, look at your 10 videos and go, look, for some reason, these two are the most appealing. These two are the ones where I feel the most, just, you know, it touches me the most. And then you can start analyzing that. And that's one of the hardest things to do in self-review.
Yeah. The ideal scenario for how to get feedback would be if you're writing articles, like Stephen King comes to you and says, hey, man,
yeah,
So in the intro and the third line, like this, you lost me here, right?
Yeah.
And if you're making videos and James Cameron comes to you and be like, hey man, listen, this is what I would have done differently. Yeah. Here's tips. Now, whatever you can do to make it as far down that line to accomplishing that, that's the ideal version of feedback you want, right?
That would be good, yeah. But yeah, that's what you can do is get feedback from peers. And that's super helpful. And I think it's also something you see, at least in content creators I've studied, most of them are in some kind of a group with, you know, most popular content creators are in a group with other popular content creators.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason they're successful is that they have each other and they have their little network and they can obviously also like cross promote and so on, but they help each other come up, right?
Right. And well, you can do your own version of that, right? It's like
totally,
get together with your with people. Ideally, you want to be around people who are far, far above you in your specific domain.
Unfortunately, they don't want you in their mastermind group, right? Man,
James Cameron just never replies to my DMs.
Never returns my calls. Damn it. But what we're going to do is actually, we're going to do a content development challenge where you can, we are going to facilitate a group of people who all want to get better at creating content and who all want to apply the strategies we've been talking about to get better quickly. And what we're going to do is we're doing this as a 3-week challenge. So every week you create 5 content pieces.
Yeah. So it'll be 3 rounds. So the strategic execution we talked about.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, exactly. So which means it's basically one content piece, one short form content piece per day. That'll be the minimum. Obviously you can do more, but one short form content piece per workday. And that's what you'd record them in batches. You publish one a day. That's a pretty good way to start as well.
Yeah.
To, you know, publish one a day, publish one short content piece a day. That's worked for us in the past to also get a brand off the ground. And what we'll do is basically we'll share with you all of the content recipes that we've used and the ones, basically the ones that have been most successful. And we'll show you, I'll also show you the exact approach, and I'll share the spreadsheets and so on that I use to do the competition research. So I have a very specific approach of, you know, how do I go through competitor channels? How do I find popular content? How do I evaluate it and come up with basically the fastest ways to come up with a list of these are the content ideas that are almost guaranteed to work. And you basically, you mix the content ideas, you mix the research you find with the recipes. And that gives you, I mean, it gives you almost unlimited content. Like if coming up with content ideas is what you struggle with, this problem is going to be taken care of. It's actually so, so easy to find, virtually unlimited content ideas for what to do.
Yeah, the purpose of our content blueprint system and the challenge is to be like this plug and play type thing, right?
Yeah.
Like we already have the framework of how you should be executing. We already have like, what not to do. Here's like the 10 recipes. They're minimum 10, last I checked.
Yeah.
Here's the different ways to confirm whether or not this content piece will go, right?
Yeah.
So at this point, like the idea is if somebody's looking to grow their audience or you know, expand their reach, whichever way how, right? Whether that's views or whatever, if you can, all you would need to do is plug and play this stuff into your stuff and do it for the 3 weeks with us, right?
Yeah, and the accountability is also a huge factor. I mean, we've seen that with Focus on Action and the things we've done in the past. Like multiple times we've seen this. This is just such a force multiplier.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if you've been wondering, it's like, oh, I want to be creating more content. I should create more content, this kind of stuff. It is such a force multiplier to just be in a group of people where everybody's doing the same thing. We give you the system. We give you the structures of exactly how to do it. But then everybody's doing it together. And at the same time, this facilitates the group of people where you will get feedback, right?
Yeah.
And you can get feedback from your peers, and we will also be in there and we will give feedback to people. So this is, and we're including this because like I said, it's kind of the most difficult component. Like actually finding someone who knows what they're doing and can give good feedback is really hard to do. So that is why we're including a feedback component. And the accountability is just going to make you do it, right?
Yeah.
It's the thing that makes the biggest difference between, I'll do it next week. No, you're doing it now. Everybody's doing it now, right? The accountability factor is just massive to make it easier to actually take action.
Yeah. And I mean, this 21-day challenge, we're planning on beginning it in the first week of December, December 4th onwards. So it will cleanly end like in the right before the last week of December, because the only psychopaths work on the last week of December. Right, yeah. That's vacation, universal vacation. Yeah. So you're not going to be working then. But yeah, like you join the thing, we do our come up with a list of content ideas, and then you just execute for those 3 weeks. And it would be amazing to see what results people can produce, right?
Yeah, I think you'd be surprised at how much you can do in 3 weeks. And it's a really good way to end the year with momentum, right? You make your content pieces in this 3-week sprint, and it sets you up where you will have, you know, you'll have that content, you'll have that momentum, you'll also have proven to yourself, oh, I can actually do this, as a really good way to, you know, start into the next year, like basically hit the ground running. Whereas most people are going to start next year with a hangover. Yeah. You're going to have done the work in advance that actually puts you, you know, instead of being like, okay, now it's January. Well, it's not January 1st, right? That's the hangover time. But it's like January 4th or whatever it is. And now I'm going to start my new life. It's like, no, you've actually already done. You've already got momentum from doing the work here. So that's also one of the reasons why we're like, look, let's start right away. Let's, you know, essentially end the year with a bang. Makes it easier to start the next one with a bang.
Also, the other thing, the other purpose of this is within 3 weeks, you can validate your idea. It's like, are there signs that this is working?
Yeah.
Right? Because you don't want to endlessly be on the thing. And one thing I could have mentioned earlier, I forgot. I was alongside the Strong Finisher business oriented channel. I was also doing like a masculinity content channel. Over there, although I could produce hits here and there, I couldn't systematically produce them. So based on the strategic execution, I could make the decision to be like, okay, this is not worth my time and energy because it's too random.
Yeah.
This, I can actually produce this on each round I'm producing wins or something or the other, right? Yeah.
Which also, it just comes down to making enough content, right? As long as, and this is also an idea of this challenge, is like to get you unstuck out of the mode where it feels like difficult and heavy. You know, it's like, oh, I have to make a content piece, I have to make a video, and it's going to take forever. It's like, no, get into the mode where it's just like you're producing, and it's not even taking that much time, which means that you have that flexibility to say, okay, I'm learning some of what works, I'm learning some of what doesn't work, and I can pivot. Think about how long that takes the average person, right? Because most people struggle so much with content creation that even to get to the point where it's like, oh, plan A is not working, let's pivot to plan B. It takes like 6 months or something, right? Because it just takes that long to even make enough videos to see whether something works or not, right? And I think this is one of the biggest advantages of following this type of content creation, where it's like, I mean, obviously, with the approach we've talked about here, you're much less likely to be making content that's not going to work in the first place. But also, you get data so fast that you can like pivot your way to the thing that works in a matter of weeks, maybe months, which takes most people just forever.
Yeah. This is what growth hacking looks like.
Basically.
It's not you sit there, wait for something to happen. It's like, no, you proactively make shit happen. Like, okay, I need to go there. There's a signal there.
Right? Yeah.
And man, one more thing. Okay, first of all, for more information on everything we're talking about, go to focusinaction.com/content. That's where you'll find all the information about all the different principles and whatnot we talked about. And each of those principles are effectively a module in the content blueprint system. So I don't think we actually mentioned this, but that will also be available as trainings or whatnot.
Exactly. So that's basically everything we've talked about in these episodes and our whole system. So there's also limits to what we can deliver on a podcast, in a podcast format, right?
Yeah.
So the content blueprint is basically just the entire system laid out as a made for you to learn and adapt this strategy for your own content creation, which, you know, with all the explanations, with the spreadsheets, with the very specific, with the recipes and so on. So we've packaged that all into a course, and that is included. You get that course, which is the whole system for how to do it, plus the accountability and the feedback during the 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's all. You'll find all that information on focusinaction.com/content. And one more thing I want to add here. Join us this time around, and you'll be competing with our team as well in creating content. So Dean and I, we were talking about this. Like, we're going to start with everybody. So we're asking people to do 3 rounds of 5 videos, right?
Yeah.
our goal is going to be to do 3 rounds of 10, like double what everyone else is doing. And if somebody beats us, like I don't fully have it yet, and I don't actually don't want to say any of the ideas I have, but it will be absolutely worth your time if right. you can compete with us and beat us. Like,
so you have to be whoever among you two is gets the better result.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're kind of cheating in a way because we have two shots at this, but still, it's like one versus two.
Fair.
But hey,
it's fair. We'll make sure that your efforts are rewarded. So if you can come in and get better results than Abby and Dean, we'll make it worth your time. Plus, we'll throw in another bonus, which is today. When is this going to be published?
Friday, November 24th.
All right. So if you sign up today, when this is published on December 24th, we will also basically we'll throw in a free strategy call with me. So I'll get on the phone with you. I'll get on a Zoom call with you. And we'll talk through your specific niche and validate your ideas. Basically give you extra help to do the niche validation. But that's only, basically, that is only if you buy today, and it's only for the first 10 people who buy.
Along the lines of the idea validation stuff, so we're also going to do a free Facebook Ads masterclass on how to do this. It's purely systematical, right? Or it's purely systematic. That's what I love about it. And I've done this over and over and over and over again for myself, for our stuff, for, you know, personal clients, everything. So one of the things I'm going to do for people who join us in this challenge by Sunday, the end of November 26th, by Sunday, November 26th, they will automatically be added to this free Facebook Ads Masterclass. And I'll show you everything from starting to what the images should look like, how to come up with the different headlines, how to assort them by, you know, are they problem, solution, product aware, whatever. It will basically be a crash course on Facebook ads and marketing. So if you're into any of that, you're going to love it. Just trust me.
All right. So all of that is at focusandaction.com/content. That's where you can sign up and get all the details of this challenge. And like I said, I think it's one of the best ways. If content is something, if you understand the value of creating personal brand content, if you've basically, you know, you've seen Alex Hormozi do it, you've seen me do it, you've seen all the other people do it, basically, like we talked about last time, everybody's focusing on this now because there's so much power in having a personal brand. And if you're like, okay, this would be cool, this would help me, except like takes me too long, I'm stuck, or I'm not doing it for various reasons, this is the fastest way to get past that, right? This is the fastest way to get over the hump of how do I get myself to do this and get that flywheel started like we talked about today, right?
Yeah.
I think this is the fastest approach. It's what we have tested out and validated in multiple niches in the past year. And it really is, I think it's a real shortcut to building an audience, getting into conversation with an audience. And it's almost like you get into this mode where you can just like stoke the fires, right?
Yeah.
And 3 weeks is enough to get that started where you're just like, okay, the ball is rolling. And all I have to do is I just keep this going and I keep it growing and I keep getting more and more feedback. And we'll also share the case study with you of exactly how we did this with the different examples we talked about. We'll basically share the case study of the most successful one we have. You know, also how to translate the views you get into an actual advantage, how to build a mailing list and build a community from that in our case. And we'll share all of that with you. I think it's one of the best ways. Like right now we have this kind of surge in popularity of short form video content. And it's a huge opportunity. Like I think this is right now the best way to build a brand. It is the best way to build momentum for an existing brand. It's the best way to start doing the work that will position you as an authority. Because it's such an advantage. It's an advantage, I think, in part because it takes time. Like when people start seeing you as an authority, it makes everything easier. It makes selling stuff so much easier when they're like, you know, basically if you're trying to sell, I don't know, you're trying to sell an SEO course and people go, oh yeah, you're the SEO guy, right? I've seen you do SEO videos. It is so much easier to sell an SEO course, to sell an SEO software, to sell an SEO service, whatever it is, right? And the same for every other niche, right? If people recognize you as, oh, I've seen you, I associate you with this niche, with this product, with this market, it's then so much easier to grow a mailing list, to sell people stuff, to sell people products and services and so on. And I think it's in part, it's such a huge advantage because it does take time to do this, right? Most people are basically not going to take the time to build up this kind of brand authority. And right now there's this massive opportunity because you can kickstart that process through short form content. And yeah, I think like basically if I were starting anything from scratch now, this is how I would do it.
Yeah, from scratch, literally. Yeah. And I think, man, for anybody who's an entrepreneur and focused on content creation as their main form of marketing, like this has got to be a no-brainer.
That is the 3-week challenge that you can join right now at focusandaction.com/content. So go there to check out that offer and sign up. And if you haven't seen the other content pieces here, we did a series of 3 content pieces, 3 podcast episodes on our content creation process. We'll also link to those in the show notes. Make sure you check those out. Because basically, we share the strategy that we've proven out over the last year, and we share a lot of it for free in this podcast. So check out those episodes as well, and go to focusandaction.com/content to sign up for the 3-week challenge.